This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show, and happy, happy Friday. We are here at Toyota Portsmouth. We're having such a good time. It's such a beautiful facility, beautiful showroom. Perfect. I was just talking to someone who last time we had this remote here, they bought a car, and they bought a RAV4, which everyone knows is my favorite car. So come on, visit us. You can grab a t-shirt, make gas cheap again. You can talk to Howie. He's giving out some treats at 3 o'clock. He refuses to give us any before then, so we will wait. But you can also call in. Now, Howie, I was just laughing because I had asked you before if you had a work disaster. And what's really inspiring this story today is this story about the Secret Service agents. So for people who don't know this, Secret Service agents sent home from South Korea after drunken incident. And we actually have the news report. Jerry, can I get cut
11? They got a bad ice cube.
Can I get cut 11, please?
Well, we're just learning some breaking news. We have now learned that two Secret Service employees were sent home just a matter of hours ago after an alleged drunken incident here that took place in front of President Biden's hotel 2 days before the president got here. These two staffers, I'm told, allegedly got into a heated argument with several people over a taxi cab before police were called there. I just spoke to the Secret Service spokesperson who tells me that they are aware of the off-duty incident that, quote, may constitute potential policy violations. The spokesperson says the staffers will be placed on administrative leave and that the incident, he says, had no impact on the president's trip. The White House, for its part, is not commenting.
The night was cold and the wine was old. There comes a night when the best get tight.
I was just going to say that. I didn't know it was a full poem, though.
The shut-eye sentry. That's the Secret Service. They're sentries, right?
I love how they say it may be crossing, like, work boundaries, getting drunk when you're a Secret Service agent in South Korea.
Well, it's not like they're Hunter Biden.
And fighting with a cabbie? If that doesn't cross the line, what does? What do you get in trouble for? But you know what's funny, how is you said your work disaster was that you were imprisoned at your other station.
At the world's worst radio, by the world's worst radio company.
Right, and I do think that's true, but you also had a couple of run-ins. I was thinking of more stories when people, you know, got your first job, mistake you made, whatever. You had a couple of those stories when you were working on TV. You weren't exactly the best fit for the news stations. You tell a lot of stories about your old boss calling you in and saying, someone get Carr in here. I saw him on the news today.
Yeah,
go ahead, tell people.
Well, I mean, there were all kinds of things, but one Monday, I broke this big story at the State House, but I had a fever blister on my lip, and so I walked back to the station from the State House, and the assignment editor says, go in and talk to this guy Jeff Rosser. He was this big jerk. He was such a jerk that Bill O'Reilly wrote a novel in which the height of the novel was he stabbed Jeff Rosser to death.
Oh, God.
He cut his throat. That's what it was about. It was about this guy, Jeff Rosser. That's the kind of guy he was. So Rosser comes, he says, "What's on your lip?" And I said, I got a sore. I said, that's a big story. That's going to be in both papers tomorrow. He said, "What's on your lip?" And then he looks over and Steve Nelson played for the Patriots then. And he was like, he got all beat up in the game. He said, "You look worse than Nelson. Never come to work again if you have anything like that on your lip."
And they also got mad at you when you would have 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah. Yeah, they right before I got fired, they said that they were doing a makeup consultations, and the woman said, "Oh my goodness, Oh, you, for this light skin, you have a very dark beard. We're going to have to do a consultation about this.
Uh-oh.
But I thought to myself, what am I going to do? Electrolysis? No, I don't think so. But you know what? It's an amazing thing, Grace. Just like my hair changed color, I don't have a problem with 5 o'clock shadow anymore.
Yeah.
I have a Santa Claus beard now.
That is the beauty of going blonde at your age.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Agree.
I used, for a while, it was salt and pepper like Gabby Hayes, you know the old bum, you know, that rode around with Roy Rogers. Now I'm Santa Claus.
Yeah. No, I like that. My story, and we're going to go to the callers here in a second. It's 844-500-4242. Howie and I were going to a remote like the one we're at right now, and we were driving a car with Howie's face on it. It was a car. It had Howie. It said Howie car. And I was driving. He was in the front seat. Actually, there's two stories involving driving, but one of them we got pulled over.
In New Hampshire.
And I'm convinced the cop pulled us over because he was a fan of Howie's and saw the car. But then I said to Howie, don't tell the mailroom manager. And he said, I won't. And then someone else brought it up on air the next week. So I got in trouble for that. And then the second one is...
I tried to get out of it the way I always do when I have a run-in with the cops. I offered him a bribe.
Yeah.
I said, can I give you a couple of books from the back seat?
I was actually impressed. The guy said no. But he was such a big fan, you could tell.
Yeah.
And it was the only time I've ever been pulled over for speeding. I've been pulled over for, like, you know, expired other stuff, but not for speeding. And we weren't even going that fast. But I remember being a nervous wreck. All right, let's go to Bill. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. What's your work disaster, Bill?
Hey, Grace, love the show. My story of the ilk of Howie's, where I was on my first week, sorry, my car. I was on the first week on the job, and it was Thursday night, and I got punched in the face at a local establishment. And my boss wasn't supposed to be in on Friday, so I thought I was in the clear. And he showed up and gave me a hard time. I tried to lie, saying I got elbowed in the face in a basketball game.
A basketball game excuse. Yeah, I don't think anyone's believing that. That's like when people say I fell down the stairs or I walked into a door.
Yeah. I've actually got to have some work done on my nose next week, and I may have a bandage on my nose on Thursday for the social media, but we'll see. If it's a big bandage, I may just take the day off.
But, like, when you really hear this story about the Secret Service agents going out, partying, getting in a fight with a cabbie, compared to the other things you've heard, does that make the top 10?
Well, you know, you got to figure, you understand that they weren't supposed to be, but they had agents assigned to Hunter Biden after after Biden stopped being vice president. Remember that at the Chateau Marmont when he was trying to run the credit card through on the Russian hooker, and it didn't go through, so he used a different card, and then the card started going through again and again and again. And so Biden called up, and they sent the Secret Service down from the L.A. office to try to get the cards, and Hunter wouldn't come down because he was on crack and with the hooker. Remember that?
Yeah.
Crack, you never go back.
So, you know, you gotta think these guys that are going to be fired, they're going to go, I just had a couple of cocktails and I'm losing my job, and I was knocking on the door at the Chateau Marmont trying to get Hunter back in, you know, to give up the credit cards before the hooker ran up $500,000.
You know who would have some really good work disaster stories?
Who's that?
Burisma boy, Hunter Biden. We could get him on the line. He could really.
Well, first they would have to. Hey, you'd have to work. You know, that was the best thing about that $11 million story yesterday, wasn't it? NBC News says we're surprised at how few of Hunter's projects ever came to fruition.
You know what my favorite line
really?
Was?
Really? NBC News must have been born last night.
Howie, my favorite line was the former White House chief ethics lawyer, Rich Painter. He said, this is an enormous amount of money for Hunter Biden, whom I don't believe is an experienced corporate transactional attorney. You don't say. You don't think he's an experienced attorney. That's weird. He's the smartest guy Joe Biden knows.
I probably smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
Think how bad you have to behave to get thrown out of the Chateau Marmont.
Yeah, really.
That's where John Belushi died of the overdose. I mean, that place has been scandal central in Hollywood since the 40s.
That reminds me, I have to show you a message I received. I cannot confirm whether it's true, but I got a direct Twitter message about the Chateau Marmont from someone who claims to have worked there when Hunter was there.
Really?
Laptop from Hell Part 2 coming at you. 844-500-4242. We'll take more of your calls when we come back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. Summer is right around the corner. From Cape hotel rooms, amusement park tickets, and fine dining gift cards, we have you covered. So go to HowieCarShow.com and click on store. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Bill de Blasio win his race for the New York House seat?
All right, I can't believe you're saying no, because all evidence points to New Yorkers want to be punished by bad politicians. They've elected him before. Why do we think they've smartened up? I say yes.
He was an accidental mayor. He would be an even more accidental congressman after 8 years of misrule, disrule, and malrule, to use the phrases of the Nina Jankowicz.
Yeah, it's start spreading the news, I'm leaving today style here. I mean, if you're going to stay in New York and you're going to vote for him, you're out of your mind.
Remember, if you got those two congressmen that are going to be running against each other, the two, Maloney, who's 76, and Nadler, who's 74. I mean, they got to be thinking, why am I running against somebody who could beat me when I could be running against Bill de Blasio? I think one of those people will jump into the race against him.
Did I hear? I thought Nadler was calling it quits.
No.
No? I think I read that, Howie.
When did you read that? Unless you read it today.
I'll do some double checking. I thought I did read it.
Carolyn Maloney may have forced him out of the race by just sending him a lifetime supply of hot dogs.
Oh. All right. I wanted to play you guys something that I think is important here. You remember the Chicago Thinker, those students who were asking questions?
Oh, yeah.
They're really good. So they're a group of students. They're like young Republicans, and they ask these questions. They were asking it at a disinformation event hosted by The Atlantic, which is like very hilarious in itself that The Atlantic, the suckers and losers publishers, is talking about disinformation. But they asked them these really good questions, and they really stumped like Brian Stelter, all these different people. And now they're back at it again.
Not that it's real tough to stump Brian Stelter.
No,
you know?
No, that's true. That goes without saying.
That's the truth.
So this student, Daniel Schmidt, he's at this event, and Jen Psaki's there. Jen Psaki's no longer the White House press secretary. She's getting ready for her new gig at MSNBC. And listen, so the question that he's asking her is, you know, why would you not condemn the protesters outside of the homes of the Supreme Court justices? It's against the law, number one, and it sets a horrible precedent in the future that if you don't like something the Supreme Court's doing, you just go to their house and you try to bully them. Now, she did say that. She did make it clear that she does not condemn the protesting. So listen to the student ask her, and then we'll do a little flashback. This is Daniel Schmidt, Cut 5.
A week ago, after the Roe v. Wade protests were happening in front of the Supreme Court Justice's houses, you said, and I quote, we certainly can continue to encourage that people protest outside of judges' homes.
I never said that.
I'm quoting from...
I said peacefully.
Yeah, sure, peacefully.
That's a key word in there, isn't it?
Peacefully, regardless, they're protesting because they're trying to impact the results. It's a federal crime to protest outside of justices' homes to impact the results. So my question is, do you regret encouraging people to protest outside of justices' homes? Even if it is peaceful, it still is a federal crime.
Well, first, thank you for your question and bringing it forward. Let me first say, because I think facts matter and facts are important, I never encouraged anyone to protest. I encourage them to engage peacefully and to
hold
do
on.
It without violence.
Stop right there. Let's play the tapes. This is Jen Psaki. This is a flashback, Cut 6.
So I know that there's an outrage right now, I guess, about protests that have been peaceful to date, and we certainly continue to encourage that outside of judges' homes, and that's the president's position.
You encourage it outside of judges' homes. So some protesting is okay because there's passion and it's peaceful, and then some other protesting is not okay. By the way, ever since the leaked memo came out that the Supreme Court was going to overturn Roe versus Wade, DHS, another leaked memo, says that there's people who are threatening to burn down the Supreme Court. Now, I'm going to give you all a guess on which side the violent protesters? Do you think it's the pro-life people who want to burn down the Supreme Court, or do you think it's the pro-choice people? You don't have to answer right now. I'll give you time to think about
it. But, you know, Jen Psaki also said a couple of weeks ago, she said, you know, invoking the Defense Production Act wouldn't have any impact whatsoever on the baby formula crisis.
And that's what they're doing now, and they're touting it as like this great thing.
Yeah, they walked Dementia Joe across the street to the fake White House and, you know, put him in front of this and videotaped some statement that this is the end-all and be-all and cure-all. They have to put him on tape because he can't remember the name of the, you know, the Defense Production Act. He calls it sometimes the National Wartime Act and the Production Defense Wartime Act and he has three or four different names for the thing.
Well, he's just getting down what the FDA stands for, so give him time, I'm sure.
The Federal Drug Administration, yes.
Yeah, so let's play this flashback. This is Jen Psaki talking about what they're now boasting that they're doing this. It's going to be the answer to everything. It's going to fix all the problems. Just a couple weeks ago, Psaki was saying it wouldn't do anything. Cut two.
The production of a baby formula is so specialized and so specific that you can't just use the Defense Production Act to say to a company that produces something else, produce baby formula. It just doesn't work that way exactly.
Never mind.
You know what that's exactly like, though? When she was being asked about COVID testing, remember there was that big spike around the holidays, and it turns out that a group came to the White House and said, we could give you testing options and you'd have to invest in it, and the White House declined. Jen Psaki was being asked about it, and she said, what do you expect us to do, send everybody free COVID tests? Like, just like she did right there, dismiss it, like as if it's impossible. 2 weeks later, they're out there going, we're gonna send everybody free COVID tests, and they want you to give them like a standing ovation. You were just telling us it was pointless. They can't even keep on the same page from week to week.
Remember, if you're an American citizen and you have to take a test to come back into the country, if you're an MS-13 gangbanger with a backpack full of fentanyl, you don't have to take a test. And if you have a kid with you, and you're an American, you can't get baby formula. If you're that MS-13 gangbanger, oh, you got all you want. And, amigo, it's for free. It's on the Armo.
Well, it's funny that you're talking about that. Because Representative Mike Johnson, who's been on a roll lately, he's had a lot of good cuts over the last couple days.
He's not going up against murderer's row of political foes.
But you got to give credit where credit is due, Howie. I mean, these are the people that are speaking out. So he was asking Nadler.
I know. You go to war with the army that you have, and you go to war against the army that's up against you. And this happens to be Brandon's army that they're going up against.
Does it feel unfair that we have Tom Cotton and they have Maisie Hirono? Yeah, it does.
Bruce,
it's not a battle
here,
of wits.
I'm just thinking of baseball analogies. This is like hitting them out of your hand, right?
Yeah. It really does feel, sometimes when you see the questions and you see these people trying to answer it, these Democrats, it's not fair. But we'll play it when we come back because we're not going to have enough time. But basically, Nadler has to admit that they're turning illegals into voters. And he says, oh, no, this isn't happening here. And this guy, Mike Johnson, has to say, no, it is. Like, it happened in New York City. It happened here. It happened there. We'll play that cut for you when we come back. We also have people on the lines to talk. We'll get to your calls. And we have Howard Dean on MSNBC.
Yeah!
Woo! Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are here at Toyota Portsmouth. Give yourself a nice round of applause. We're very excited to be here. Want to thank Jim Boyle for having us. It's always such a fun remote, and we love to be here. There are T-shirts for sale, and there is a lot to get to still in this show. And then, of course, you have Howie Carr, who comes on right after me. All right, I do want to play a little bit of Nadler here. So Representative Mike Johnson, he's a Republican from Louisiana, and he was asking Nadler, he was speaking about illegal aliens and how illegal aliens can oftentimes vote in certain cities. And Nadler never got this memo. He did not realize this was true.
Didn't Nadler say a couple of years ago, somebody asked him on the street, a constituent on the west side just said, you know, what about Antifa? And he said, there is no such thing as Antifa.
Yeah, I think a lot of Democrats have said that, but yeah, I think Nadler probably did.
Right, I'm pretty sure
it's an idea. That's what Joy Behar told us too.
Yeah, that's right. He said an idea.
So let's take this. This is Representative Mike Johnson, and we'll probably stop it a little bit, but this is cut 10.
Well, no, this is a recent action. It was just passed in December.
No, that is not correct. Non-citizens have not been eligible to vote in New York, or for, as far as I know, in any other state since the 19th century.
That's not true. The New York City Council voted in December to allow this. It begins January 9, 2023. Cities in Vermont and Maryland already allow this, and similar measures are under consideration in Illinois, Maine, and Massachusetts right now.
If the gentleman will yield?
Yes.
I believe those are considerations of allowing votes in municipal elections only.
Right, thank you. That's the point. Everybody wants to know at home, why would they allow this? Guys, they're allowing it because they're going to turn them into voters. They already are doing this in New York City, largest city in America, and this is the plan of our friends on this side to turn all the illegals into voters. That's it, folks. That's what's going on. That's the game. That's why the border's open. That's why they've dropped it. Look, I respect Ms. Loughran and all her work in this arena. Yes, I'll yield, Mr. Chairman. I'd love to hear what you have to say about this.
As a New Yorker, I would love to think that New York is the entire country, but it is not. It is not.
Now, hold on. Pause it there. You see the switch? He goes from saying it's not happening. I just want to follow this because I can't imagine that Democrat voters are this out to lunch. I just can't. He goes from saying it's not happening, that's not true, you have your facts wrong, to, well, New York isn't the whole country. Which one is it? Because it can't be both. Is it happening or is it not happening? Or are you just making things up as you go? I mean, you have to have some cojones to correct someone and then be wrong.
Frank, to paraphrase Frank Sinatra, if you can vote here, you can vote anywhere.
Very true. That should be the new mantra. I mean, it just amazes me that their arguments are so weak. All right, let's finish it.
The consideration is being given to permitting non-citizens to vote in New York, and I believe in the capital city of Vermont. I forget which that is. But it, as much as I'd like to believe it, New York and Vermont are not the entire country.
But Mr. Chairman, that's
half
the whole
of his
point.
Half the people he grew up with moved to Vermont, including Ben and Jerry and Bernie Sanders. He doesn't know. He never heard of Burlington, Vermont. Ugh.
It's just insane.
He'd probably be better off if he ran for the seat that's being vacated by Welch, who's running for Pat Leahy's seat. He could probably get elected. All he'd have to do is say, "My name's Jerry Nadler. I'm from New York, like all of yous," and he'd be elected by acclamation.
You know,
he doesn't even know what the state capital is.
It is weird that. How old is he? He's got to be up there.
He's 73 or 74. He's 74.
I just don't get that. I really don't.
They wrote a song about him in the 40s, you know.
What?
Mr. 5x5. He's 5 feet tall and he's
Howard.
5 feet wide.
It's Friday. You're supposed to be kind today. Be nice to people. I just don't get why you're 73 and he's sitting there in these hearings. He clearly doesn't care if he doesn't know anything about them. He's got the mask on. Hang it up. Like, let someone else. Aren't the Democrats always talking about passing the torch to the next generation?
First of all, he's 74. I thought about that. But he, you know the woman he's running against, the woman from the other side of the borough, Carolyn Maloney, you know how old she is? She's 76.
Oh, so he's like a young whippersnapper compared to her.
Yeah.
Well, you know that Bernie Sanders is now really, speaking of Vermont, he's really He's floating that he might, you know, try again. What would this be, his fourth, fifth time trying to be president? And I'm thinking to myself,
There's a sucker born every minute.
If I'm a Democrat, and I'm a young Democrat, and I'm looking at this, let's say I'm like a big social justice warrior, you know, green energy, all this stuff. I'm looking at these two old men, and I'm saying, you've got to be flipping kidding me. This is the best we can do. We have Biden who's leading Democrats into what's going to be a complete red wave. Even if you, and you know what's so funny, how we never really talked about this, because every race is very specific and, you know, there's a lot of players involved in them. But in a lot of these races, like Fetterman and these other people, they chose the progressives. So now they're all having these big victory laps, like these progressive groups. They're saying, told you, America wants more leftists. Like, America wants us to be more extreme. They're taking victory laps before the elections. So it's like, yeah, you can pick in the primary, you can pick a left-wing progressive. That doesn't mean they're going to beat the Republican.
By the way, you know, Fetterman had a stroke, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Fetterman had a stroke. You have Chris Von Hollen from Maryland had a stroke, right? Lujan from New Mexico had a stroke. And now Sherrod Brown from Ohio, who's still in, he's in his late 60s. He's a little older than those other guys. But now he's sick. I mean, all these guys that have been vaccinated and boosted, all these Lib Dems, they're all getting sick. What's this all about, Grace?
I don't
what do you
get
think
into that.
What do you think they're I mean, really seriously though. I mean, they're just falling down. I mean, it's not just professional soccer players who are 22 years old that are dropping dead.
Yeah, and by the way, the gas money winner today, I just want to announce this quick before I forget, and then we'll go back to the calls. Congratulations, $50 of gas money goes to Frank. Frank, you won $50 for gas from Howie and Grace, so look for an email from store@howiecarshow.com with instructions.
You won! You did it!
You did win. And before we go, I want to play one more cut for everyone. This, there's actually two cuts here. These are from Howard Dean. A lot of people might not remember Howard Dean. He's the one who went, whoo, into the microphone, and then we never heard from him again. Well, he's back.
No, we got to get that cut. That cut's got to be out there. I mean, Howard Dean, though, is the capital of Vermont, I think. Although, if you listen to this sound cut, you may have your doubts. He seems to have lost a little off the old fastball.
All right, so let's have Howard Dean.
Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. We're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Okay, I'm going to say unpopular opinion. I don't think it's that bad. Like, yeah, it's a little unhinged. But now that we look back at it years later, was it that bad? That literally destroyed his career. I've heard you say crazier things.
My word is a Biden. I'm a talk show host.
I'm paid.
That's my job.
It's a hot medium. He was on TV. All right, so let's have Howard Dean on MSNBC, Cut 14.
I see the brand of Fox being hate, anger, dishonesty, and now murder. That's the brand. That's the brand that the Murdochs have chosen to be their flagship communication. And I agree with Biden. Murdoch has harmed this country more than any other human being in my lifetime, and he should never have been given citizen. The one thing I'd change about our immigration policy is to send Murdoch back to Australia and keep him there with the whole family.
All right, so he clearly hasn't become more sane over time. He's still got that edge to him.
Murdoch has done more damage than Biden? Can we have a referendum on that?
Let's have one more.
Keep the hands out, Governor. It'll make it harder for him to throw the net over you.
Howard Dean has some programming tips for TV shows. This is Cut 15.
If you cause that much trouble, and you spread lies and hate and anger and tear the United States apart with your crappy TV show simply to make money, you do not belong. You do not deserve American citizenship, period.
That was good TV.
That was good TV. 844-500-4242. We will be back with more after the break. Howie, anything to add in to the Howard Dean?
No, that's about it for Howard Dean.
That's about it for Howard Dean.
Howard Dean comes from a very terrible family, though. I mean, again, if you want to hold the Democrat standards, if you went back and looked at what Howard Dean's grandfather did with the private clubs in New York City and Long Island, they would be tearing down Howard Dean's statue. If there were such a thing as a Howard Dean statue anywhere, I'll tell you. He was a vicious anti-Semite.
If Howard Dean had a statue, it would be of that moment.
Can we deport Howard Dean? I'm sure his family's been in the country since 1600. But, you know, by modern Democrat standards, he should be the one to be deported.
844-500-4242. By the way, it's been 100 days without a media interview from Joe Biden. So that's a grim milestone that you won't hear anything about. But we're going to talk about
it. Government.
We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch day.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We are at Toyota of Portsmouth. Give yourself a big hand. Very good. Thank you all for coming out. Howie's got a special treat for you in just a couple of minutes once he starts his show, because he's such a cheap bastard, he can't share with you now. He's got to wait till it's all his audience. That's okay, though, because you have a correction.
I know. I screwed up. It's not Burlington. I was thinking of my my station in WVMT, which is actually in Colchester, next door to Burlington. Montpelier is the capital of Vermont. But what do I know?
The texters,
I haven't been a congressman for 83 years.
The texters are going wild.
I know. I'm sorry, texters. What do you want me to say?
And you know what? Texters are the type of thing.
Just up with John to Montpelier, which is up in Vermont.
Oh, I like that. Well, I have something else, Howie. First of all,
Brattleboro, though. That was a short jaunt from Greenfield.
First of all, we're going to offer our apologies to Jerry Nadler, because clearly it can slip of the mind. But second of all, we have a punishment for you for making that mistake.
Uh-oh.
Play it, Jared.
Information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious.
Hum-de-de-de-lum-de-lie.
It's how you hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little lie when Rudy Giuliani shared that intel.
Okay. Oh, he's had enough. He didn't kill anybody. Okay? He made a mistake.
Very fake.
Wow. Nina called somebody else a huckster.
Yeah, a huckster.
Wow.
By the way, on the Howard Dean stuff, 603 says, isn't that the I have a scream speech? He did have a scream.
That's good.
Ah! Joe!
You know what they used to say about Jesse Jackson? I have a scheme.
Joe, you're next up on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon, folks. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Good.
Yeah, so back in the day, I grew up in Vermont. Don't hold that against me. But Howard Dean was a physician. My father was
right.
A pharmaceutical sales rep. And I asked my dad, I said, Dad, what was he really like? And he said one word, dink.
What was the one word?
Dink, D-I-N-K.
Dink. It's a very good word. It's kind of, people don't use it as much as they used to, but it, you know, from what I've seen of Howard Dean, it seems like a very appropriate word.
Yeah, he is very angry when he was on MSNBC. That seems to be a theme at MSNBC, is everyone's angry all the time. Howie, did you hear about what's going on with Netflix?
Yeah, they laid off all the woke people.
Yeah, they didn't just lay off the woke people. They're scrapping all of the woke content, which I can tell by looking at all your faces that you're devastated by this. I know some of these.
Good, that'll leave room for the sequel to Bloody Boston that we did for Reels.com. There's some holes now in the lineup.
You know, you have a real gift. How you can take every story I read and connect it back to one of your projects. One of your passion projects is really quite something. I have heard great things, though, about it.
We're talking about doing one about how the FBI framed those four guys, and they knew and they let them go to prison for their lives. Two of them went to death row. Two of them died in prison. They got $100 million. Wouldn't that be a good Netflix series?
I think it would. And Howie and I were actually just having this conversation the other day. I said, if you were put in jail for something you didn't do for, what was it, 30 years?
35 years.
35 actually. Years. there's no, how do you put a price on that? How does someone pay you back for 35
I know.
Years?
Yeah, you just got, Joe Salvati, you just got $27 million. But you don't get 35 years back.
No, you can't get your time back. You can't. 844-500-4242.
It's not even good news for your kids, because your kids didn't see all those years. You know, it just screwed up. It screwed up everything. And they knew. They knew before the murder. They sent stuff down to J. Edgar Hoover, telling him that this guy was going to get murdered and who was going to do it. They knew before. They didn't stop the murder. And then after the murder, they let these guys that didn't do it go away. It was amazing what happened. And Bill Weld wrote a letter saying keep them in jail, even though everybody knew they were innocent.
And there's a Comey connection too, right? Or no, I'm sorry, Mueller.
Mueller was the he was there in that office that they knew. I went down to the archives and spent a whole day searching for the letter, because he supposedly sent him a letter too. A guy from Springfield who was on the parole board told me he'd seen the letter from Mueller, but I could never find it. I don't know if the deep state got to the letter or it was just another letter. But the two guys around Mueller, they both wrote letters saying keep these guys in jail. They're innocent, but we don't want them out. They didn't say they're innocent, but everybody knew they were.
Yeah, but since then, their record has been spotless.
See, that would be...
I knew that would make you laugh.
Yeah, see, the thing is, under the old Netflix regime, though, that wouldn't have been very marketable, because, you know, the FBI is the Democrats' secret police.
Yeah, they like the FBI.
Oh, they love them now, and this whole trial this Sussman trial going on just shows how corrupt they were. It's the same thing. Oh, we didn't know that it was we thought it was legit. Right. They knew. The New York Post wrote an editorial about it today, saying the FBI knew what was going on. They were conspiring with the Clinton people.
It is amazing that Netflix is doing this, because it does feel like the tides are turning a little bit with this. The pendulum is swinging back, and I think it's due to
It's not
DeSantis.
The pendulum swinging back. It's the subscriber base plummeting, cratering.
Yeah.
They lost, 200,000 people last month.
But it's not about the money for them, Howie. It's about the virtue signaling. All right, 844-500-4242. I'm out. I'll stay here, though, till 6 o'clock. Howie's going to be here putting on his show. Thank you all so much for coming. Thank you to Jim Boyle from Toyota of Portsmouth. You still have plenty of time to stop on by. Be right back.